Good morning. As the baskets for our tithes and offerings are being passed, I just wanted to share with you. Well, first of all, My name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. We are one church in four locations, and it's a joy to be with you all here today. Welcome to our visitors. Welcome those who are regular attenders. We're just happy to I'm happy to see you. Over the last week, it was very busy for me. Wednesday, I just want to share this. This is going somewhere. Stay with me. Wednesday, there was a friend of mine who was here on Easter. His name was Bob. Bob sat right there with his girlfriend, and then his family sat right behind him. He was the name I wrote down on the card. Bob had stage 4 cancer, and Bob went to be with the Lord this past week. And I just want to share with you, as I was meeting with him on a regular basis, a good friend of mine, Bob said, listen, when I came to that Easter service, I rededicated my life to Jesus. And so you never know, as we think of outreach, we think of young families, we think of all those, we don't think of people that are just getting ready to go to be with Jesus, right? And so it gave me a new perspective on and why we proclaim the good news, why we talk about the good news, which we're going to look at here in a second. But Bob was ready to go. Bob's soul and heart were prepared and ready to meet Jesus for last week. So we did the funeral. I met with him. He picked 3 amazing scripture verses. His children all spoke well of him. He finished well. And it, just a little sermon. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. This is free. I want to encourage you. As you develop and grow in your faith and that thing called sanctification, that process of becoming more and more like Jesus, I want to encourage you to finish well, to finish strong in this life. That's the goal. And so I'm giving God the praise this morning for Bob's life and how he finished well. Then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I had the opportunity to go back to speak at the church camp where I grew up. They asked me to come back and share, and I preached, and there was over 150 kids there, and just to share. And every time, there was about 20 or 30 kids that would come forward and respond to the gospel and accept Jesus. And so I'm fired up this morning. I'm really fired up. I'm excited to be with you all in worship. But here's the thing I want to ask you. We're going to just pray right now. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to rest on us as we just sang. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. That in these next few moments that we be fully present with whatever we brought in here this morning. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us, that you would open our minds and hearts to hear and receive your word. Be with us now in Jesus' name, amen. So we are currently in part 5 of our sermon series called The Good News. It's a overview of the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is considered one of the older Gospels, where the Synoptic Gospels are things that were taken side by side. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered the Synoptic Gospels. Mark is that source. And so over the last couple weeks, over the last 4 weeks or so, we've looked at John the Baptist and his character and how he entered into the story and his mission and vision that God gave to him to prepare the way for Jesus to go do and minister all the things that he had to. We looked at Jesus overcoming the temptation in the wilderness. Doug spoke about that. We looked at the calling of the first disciples. We looked at how Jesus called these guys that really weren't like the best of the best. They weren't considered for teachers of the law or Pharisees or Sadducees. They were kind of like blue collar, kind of like the JV of society. And Jesus said, I want to use you to do great things, right? Jesus did more with those guys, right? And then we looked at healings. One of the main things that Jesus did, he brought about physical and spiritual healing. And he did it in the face of really religiosity. He did it in the face of rules and regulations. He did it in the face of hypocritical Christians that should have known better, but he did it anyway. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at today. We're going to continue on in the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to see how Jesus moves and operates and how he calls us to follow him. And so the good news for us this morning is that Jesus is the word that was written years ago, thousands of years ago, is still fresh and applies to us today and has meaning for us. And so if you have your Bibles, or you can look along the screen behind me or on a device, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to be going in chunks, starting in verse 1 and going down through there and looking at the passage. But this one, we see Mark chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to look at Jesus in this parable of the soils. Maybe you've heard of that. I know people here on the north side of Pittsburgh, we're not farming people. Agriculture, that's not us. That's not kind of our lane. But here Jesus is talking and sharing this parable with them. And I'm going to just start out with verse 1, and this is what he says. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat, and then he sat in the boat a while, and all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables. Say parables. Parables, such as this one, okay? And so he would, at the beginning parts of Jesus' ministry, he was just straightforward. He would just tell it like it is. And then the more and more he encountered the teachers of the law and the people folding their arms and judging him and all the other things that were going on, he began to make adjustments in the way he would teach. He used this teaching tool called a parable. And many of you have heard of this, but a parable is this. What is a parable? A parable is literally to cast alongside a truth or to come alongside something else. And so Jesus would take a parable, which were stories cast alongside a truth to illustrate a point, to illustrate a truth or a lesson that he was trying to teach his followers or those that were within earshot of him teaching. But it's a comparison of one thing, another likeness, that have similar traits. And so he used this often to teach his ministry. And so he told the parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, according to Mark 4:31. And so it became part of a teaching tool for him. You know, how many of you like to hear a good story? I know I do. I love a good story. And so Jesus did that, but he also did it within the mind of those that had ears could hear, right? And so that was the whole idea for him to use these parables to explain a truth that he was trying to get them to understand. It came to the point, for instance, in Matthew 3, you'll hear people that were confused. What's this guy talking about? Why is he speaking in such a way? I don't understand him. You've ever felt like that way when someone preaches? You probably felt that way when I preach, right? But what is he trying to say, right? He's trying to help them understand a truth. And this is what we look at here. Jesus used parables, had a twofold purpose. There were two reasons why he did it. The first one was to reveal a truth. That those who wanted to know it. And so he was teaching and he was telling the truth to those that were going to receive and had the ears to hear and the eyes to see. And then the second one, the reason why he used parables, was to conceal the truth from those that were indifferent or those that were just there to make a scene and cause problems. And they had their own agenda. And that's why he would use that. And so he would use it to teach those that wanted to hear. And then he'd also use it to disguise it from people that were there just to make trouble. I like that about Jesus' method. It's pretty cool. And so as we know, who are these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, the Sadducees, all right? They were those that publicly rejected Jesus. They were those that publicly plotted and planned to come against Jesus to eventually lead him and capture him that would lead to his arrest. And so that's why he used this. And so in Isaiah, Jesus was a big Isaiah. Anybody that was in that culture at that time, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophet Isaiah's words on the scrolls. And so he knew that. And so there was a prophecy that talked about the people in those times, Isaiah 6, would have hard hearts. They would have hard hearts toward the teachings. They were spiritually blinded to the truth and to God's ways. And so Jesus was fulfilling and using that as a way to fulfill Isaiah chapter 6. I think that's a really cool thing. I don't know if it's a Bible nerd thing, but it's a really cool to show you God's character. He's fulfilling his word. God's word matters. And so when Jesus made sure his disciples understood these meetings, when he was alone with his disciples, they would often ask him, "Teacher, what did you mean? Rabbi, what did you mean?" He would explain everything. He would unpack everything for them. He would let me feed you baby birds, and he would unpack the truths to him. And so I love that about Jesus. He explained everything. a good teacher is going to explain those points. And so these parables that are found were devices that you could also see in the Old Testament. For instance, the book of Proverbs, there's a ton of parables. There's parabolic language, if you will. And here's one for you. Proverbs 20, verse 2. A king's wrath strikes terror like a roar of a lion, right? And so it's just kind of using an image and a symbol to talk about a truth. And so Jesus knew this. It was part of the culture. Some people got it. Some people didn't. Some people accepted it, and some people rejected it. That's an amazing thing. And so we see this part of the culture that Jesus is doing this. And so may God grant us the ears to hear. May God grant us the Holy Spirit to give us revelation into his word, into the situations that we experience in this life. May we have those ears to hear and the eyes to see God on the move and at work in our lives. And that's what you do when you read scripture, and then we want to hear what God has to say for us. All right, Mark chapter 3, verse 6. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. I'm excited. I got to slow down. Here's what it says. Listen. That's a good word, exclamation point, emphasis. Listen. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Here's the parable. A farmer went out to plant some seed. He scattered it across the field, and some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Verse 5, others' seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. I felt that way this past week. And soon it didn't deepen the roots. And since it didn't have deep roots in the ground, it died. Going on to verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was, listen how it's growing. There's healthy things grow. We've said that a lot. That produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, Jesus saying this, anyone who with ears to hear should listen and understand. And so he's talking about the word of God. He's talking about, and so at first glance, at first take on this story, you're thinking about, why is he talking about seed? Why is he talking about the sun beating down? What's he talking about? So if you didn't understand what he was saying, you would totally miss the point. It would go whew, right over your head. But as you kind of drilled down and you leaned in and your heart was kind of ready and prepared to hear what Jesus had to say, you're going to lean into what he has to say. You're going to accept what he has to say. If your heart is hardened and your heart is all about yourself and your heart is about all those other things and you're going to cross your arms and you're going to go, listen to this guy. He has no idea what he's talking about. And so they didn't accept Jesus. They rejected him. They rejected him. So that word that I said in that first word is listen. The biblical word means to have a proper understanding to listen, to hear God's voice that prompts us to birth within the faith, right? It's just not a sound being made. It's just not hearing audible sounds or things like that. Right now I can hear the beautiful AC going, which is great. Praise be to God. But it's also understanding and really hearing, spiritually hearing with your spiritual ears, you know? And I wonder where we are this morning. Are your ears stopped up? Is your heart hardened by life? And it can get that way. It can get that way. Bad things happen, you know. So we have to pray. We're praying for God to give us those ears to hear, to soften our hearts, to have that soil in our hearts, and that's really what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about agriculture or farming, right? And he's not talking about like a 17 magazine. I remember my sister had these, and like, which soil am I? Right? That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, where is your heart ready? Do you have those ears to hear? And I just wondered this morning that maybe some of us are so hardened by life. We're so disappointed in people and things and situations that we cannot hear God moving and speaking among us. And so what he wants to do, he wants to send Jesus to till that up, to mix that up so he could plant the seed, the spiritual seed in us, that we could hear him in his word. So I pray that for you this morning, that you're listening. At the end of my time up here, we're going to invite you forward. Just begin to pray right now. I've been praying since we started. We're going to have a prayer team up here. We're going to ask God to soften your hearts, that you would receive his word, that you would hear his truth in your life, that he wants you to grow and be more like his son Jesus and less like yourselves. And so he was asking them to listen with intention, to listen with spiritual understanding, to listen with a spiritual hunger and zeal. And I wonder if we have that this morning. I wonder if we're really there. Are we really truly desiring God to speak in our lives, to really shape us and mold us, to go deeper into his word, right? And so the Holy Spirit, I just pray that. I just pray that he is just helping you to kind of plow up that hardened soil in your heart, if you will, to plow up those things where you're just kind of stuck on, you're not moving. That life circumstances have hardened that soil in your heart. And then his word and his spirit is going to just come and plow it up. Rototill. You guys are familiar with the word rototilling? My grandfather growing up, my grandfather and grandma had a piece of land, and it was this like football field size of maybe half of, maybe three quarters of it, I should say. But it was out in the country. It was not in the city. And they would have me come out when I was a kid. I remember at 8 years old on a rototiller. That doesn't look right, but my grandfather would stand right behind me, and we're rototilling up all this soil. Boom, boom. I'm shaking real hard, you know. But he would come behind, and then after the soil was just picked up and the rocks were taken out and all the thorns and all the stuff that was in the soil that shouldn't have been there, my grandfather would go and take the seeds, maybe corn or green beans or tomatoes or whatever it was, and just plant rows and rows. They were that generation when they would use mason jars to make jelly and ketchup, which was never good, I have to say that, with all due respect. But everything else was amazing. It was phenomenal. But I was, as a little kid, I would hold on to that rototiller and walk, and he would walk behind me just shaking, right? But he instilled in me that work ethic. It always stayed with me. When I hear this parable, I automatically think of my grandma and my grandfather just planting seeds. They too, planted a spiritual legacy in me, which I'm very thankful for. But when we look at that the soil needs to be broken up, that there's hardened soil, there's rocks, there's stuff on it. Maybe some of the soil underneath it, which was like a lot of like Pittsburgh, the soil, there's rock underneath and it doesn't grow very much, right? And so we have that here. But as Jesus was talking about that, there were four types of soil. They're on the screen there for you. But there was the soil that was on the footpath. And this soil was hard and dry. So we can think of that, literally think of that soil in your mind. But then you also, I want you to think spiritually, what that looks like spiritually for you. Right? That footpath soil. Maybe you're just over time, you've been there, done that. Maybe you had a diagnosis. Maybe you've had whatever it was. But you're just, your faith is not where it needs to be. And there's a spiritual hardness and dryness in your life, that God wants to come and break that up. Then there's the soil that's shallow, right? It's rocky. It hits the rocky parts, and it's shallow where it is, and it's not taking any root. And so sometimes when you come to church, you'll hear a word, and you're like, that wasn't for me. The music wasn't, you know, you start casting judgments like you're at some rock concert, and you don't hear God's word. Your ears are stopped up. Your heart is hardened. The third one, there was thorns. There was thorns. It was crowded out. That it began to grow a little bit, but there were thorns on there, and it began to be crowded out. Some of us have grown up in the church or have served, and there's thorns in our life that we need to deal with. We need to take that stuff out of the soil, out of our hearts, out of our minds, and give it to God. But then there are those who Jesus mentions and says, then there's the fertile soil. Then there's the fertile soil. This is for the people that have... the soil, their heart is softened. Their lives are producing fruit. And I'm not talking blueberries and bananas here, right? I'm talking about love and mercy and care for people, right? They're producing fruit in their lives, and they're fruitful. And so if you take all of these four things, you're going to go, which one am I? And we've heard people do that. But what I want you to do is think the overarching thing here is the condition of our heart. The attitude of our heart, the spiritual condition of where our heart is. Are we truly open to hear what God has for us? Or are we just, could you put those soils back up for me, Joe? That'd be great. If we look at those soils, you know, hard and dry, shallow and rocky, thorns, overcrowded, or do we want that to be fertile, soft, and fruitful? And my hope and prayer this morning is that we examine our hearts, we truly examine our hearts, and at the end of this time together, we're going to have our prayer team, and we're going to pray for these things. We're going to pray for a heart to be broken up and to be softened, and that your life will produce fruit, that you'll deal with the issues in your life. But it has to have a spiritual awakening that the Holy Spirit, and you have to want that as well. Do you want that in your life? And so here's that, you can put that slide back up, right? That tension, that problem is we don't have a seed problem, but we have a heart problem. We have a heart problem. We have a heart issue. And so God wants us to deal with that hardened heart by time, by life circumstances, by bad relationships, and just by, frankly, just boredom and distraction, right? And our heart becomes hardened. So God wants this morning to break all that up in you so you can produce fruit and you can have freedom in your life, that you don't have to continue to walk in those same patterns. But he wants you to have that fruitful thing. And so the tension is will we allow Jesus' teaching to sink into our hearts, or will we simply reject it? Will we reject it? And that's what he's looking at. So fruitfulness is a natural way, naturally happens. Fruitfulness in our lives naturally happens when we're connected to the vine in John 15. So the vine is Jesus. When we're connected to him, you're like, that's a lot of like farming illustrations. It is. Work with me. But when we're connected to the vine, when we're connected to the vine that is Jesus, that our lives are going to produce fruit, that our lives are going to naturally draw people and be attractive and winsome. As we get older, are we getting better or bitter? Because I've seen a lot of people, as they get older and time wears on, they become bitter. Like you, I've seen people in churches and in college and whatever it was, that over time, that the life was so hard, they became bitter. And I know it breaks God's heart. It breaks my heart as a pastor, that we should be getting better and producing more fruit and having more joy in our lives. He doesn't want you to just settle and your life to be a hardened on the rocky path full of thorns and all this other stuff. Will trouble happen? Yes. But it's how we respond to that. Will we let God soften and rototill those things in our life? The word of God is good, and God is always good, as we know. But we have to cultivate. That's another agricultural term, cultivating the soil, right? Digging it up, removing the things that aren't going to, you know, cause fruit to happen. Rocks, thorns, whatever it is. Bitterness, anger, get those out of our hearts. We need to cultivate that in order for God to use us. So the issue really is, it's an attitude of the heart. It's a heart problem. That we might be, you know, whatever that is, you know what that is for you this morning, that heart issue. And I want to encourage you, surrender whatever that is you're thinking of right now, that you're feeling the conviction of, that the Holy Spirit's on you. That's what you need to surrender to God and say, God, take this and cultivate it and break it up, soften my heart so I can be used for you in your kingdom. Do other people encounter you and they see that Jesus is in you, or do they see someone that's bitter, right? And so that's what we're trying to deal with, is this heart problem, these heart issues in our lives. So we must cultivate the condition of our heart so that we can receive the word of the God, that we don't quench the Holy Spirit, that we can allow him to move and work in us. Amen? That's what he's calling us to do. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 10, starting there. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, those are his followers, with the others that were kind of around that area, they asked him what the parables meant. That's a good question to ask. I also think that's kind of a sidebar. I think it's good for us to ask good questions and ask God things, what's going on in my life? Why did this thing happen? It's okay to ask questions. He can handle it. Verse 11, Jesus, he replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. Wow. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they say, what do I do? They will learn nothing. When they say, hear what I say, they will learn. They will not understand. And otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. So Jesus answered their questions, and I love this, in a small group setting. He answered these deep, like, spiritual, philosophical questions in a group setting. That's why at Bridge City Church, we believe in connection groups and activity groups and grabbing a coffee together outside these walls and looking at God's word and doing life together, as they say. So it's important for us to ask those questions. But we're either leaning in and asking, what does this mean? Or we're rejecting God in our lives each day. So as you're going through your life and your rhythms, whatever it may be, are you asking God to teach you? Are you having those ears to hear? Or are you just kind of stiff-arming and just kind of rejecting him out of your life? I pray that we have more and more understanding in that. And I love the words that Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. That's what he's calling us to do. And so if you're bearing fruit and you're having those ears to hear, you're going to seek God first as opposed to other voices in your head. And so the other one was this. In Mark 13 through 14, it says this. Then Jesus said to them, I can't understand the meaning of this parable. How will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. The farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. So here he kind of breaks it down. So the seed is this. The seed, there should be an equal sign. The seed equals the word of God, God's truth, God's scripture. The condition of the soil, all those different soils, those four soils, were how different people heard and received God's word in their lives. And then their condition of their heart, it spoke into that. And so ultimately, Jesus is trying to identify those that are spiritually aligned with him versus those who are not, right? And he's talking about that. Verse 15, it says this, the seed fell on the footpath, represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once to take it away. And so we have an enemy of our souls. It's a reality. It's a truth that he wants to seek, kill, and destroy us and take us out. And so Satan will come to those who are trying to draw near to God, and he will try to pluck them from them. So he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy wants to interrupt and distract you from what God has for you. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to have the discernment and understanding for that. Verse 16 and 17. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, immediately receive it with joy. Say, with joy. With joy. When you hear God's word, we're supposed to receive it with joy. Now, sometimes when he says, go to Africa, Gary, right? There might be a check, right? Like, I don't know. It's hot there. You know, like, it might be dangerous. I don't know if I have the money. But we're truly to receive God's word with joy. That's what we're called to do, and I love that. Receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. I want to push pause there. When we're in God, when we're walking with God, there's people will stay, but at the first sign of trouble, at the first time of a bad thing in their life, they'll push back and they'll reject God and they'll go away because those roots in their hearts didn't take and didn't go deep. They fell away as soon as they have problems or were persecuted for believing God's word. And so in that time, I mean, there was the Roman occupation, right? And there was a lot of persecution that was happening here in this text. And so they were dealing with that. And so I often wonder, like, when we're dealing with the things of our culture, there's not a lot of persecution like they faced. What it is, it's more existential. It's more things that happen in our lives day to day. It might be a physical diagnosis, like my friend Bob. It might be a divorce. It might be just a broken relationship that what you thought could have been and should have been never was. Whatever that is. But when those things happen, those roots don't take. And so God is saying, like, you lean into me. Cultivate that. Make me your firm foundation as you put those roots into his word. So God's word is that representation of that. How about this? Mark 4:18-19. The seed that fell from the thorns represents the others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the thorns of worry of this life. How many of you have a problem with worry? Don't put your hand up. The lure of wealth. Whew. And the desire for things so no spiritual fruit is produced. And so we have worries. We like stuff, right? There's all kinds of things that happen that kind of crowd out God's word in our lives. And so we have the worries of life. We have the lure of wealth. And I think in and of itself, money is not a bad thing. I'm making sure you hear me that say that, because God uses money to bless people and things and help other people move forward. But and then the desire for other things. We have so much things in our life that sometimes those can crowd out God's word for our lives. So Luke 9:62 says this, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's tough words from Jesus. But what he's really trying to say is that when we're in Christ, when we receive God's word and it's on that soft, fertile soil, we need to continue to walk in such a way that our eyes are focused on him, whether good things happen to us or bad things happen to us. But so many people walk away and they reject him. We have a thing called Victory and Freedom coming up. Victory and Freedom. I believe the women's is almost filled. The men's is getting there. It's $25 per person. And it's a thing that we help people deal with the heart issues, the thorns, the rocks in their hearts. And we ask them to come to Victory and Freedom and deal with those heart issues. So I'm going to encourage you and challenge you. Get to Victory and Freedom and deal with the things, the heart issues that are causing you to produce fruit and grow closer in your relationship with God. Let's look at Mark 4:20. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So when God's word is rooted in your life, when God's word is in you, there's going to be fruit that multiplies. And what your capacity is it determines, like, are you willing to let God stretch you? Are you willing to let God push you in a direction that might be uncomfortable? And so we see this, that as we lean into God's word and lean into who Christ is, there's this greater capacity for ministry in your life. And that's what God wants. So what is the condition of our hearts? What is the condition of your heart this morning, right? I want to say this, that he wants you to be teachable, right? If we're thinking about our condition of our heart, it says it right there, teachable. What does that mean? Are you willing to let Scripture move and speak to you in a way that you've never had before? So many of us think that we have arrived, we've got it all figured out, this Christian thing. But the truth is, you don't. That's called a pride problem, and you need to let that go, let God move, right? We need to be receptive. We need to be receptive to God's word and his Holy Spirit in our lives. And so many of us are not. And then we need to be obedient. When we hear God's word, we read the Scriptures, we hear music from our worship team, we hear God's word being proclaimed, we need to put it in practice. And so obedience, when you walk in obedience, there's growth that happens and fruitfulness that happens, that God wants you to walk in that. Are you teachable this morning? Are you receptive to what God wants for your life? And you might have to do some hard things and hard decisions that you recognize your heart is like that hardened soil. And I'm asking you to be obedient. Let God help you move toward obedience in your life. As our worship team is up here and our prayer team is getting in place, I want to encourage you to stand right now. I want to encourage you to stand as they play. And I'm going to pray for just a second. And after I'm done praying, if you'd like God to do business with God, we're going to ask you to come down this middle aisle. And our ushers will direct you to which, you know, prayer team to go for. But here's the thing. As you think about those soils, the bottom line is this. What's the condition of your heart? Are you hardened? Are you just tired of life? Are you receptive and teachable to what God has for you? But it's going to take some time in prayer and surrender of those things. And so what we did this morning is we intentionally put this at the end of the service for you to come and pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. We thank you for your word and your parable of the soils. Ultimately, what it comes down to, it, Lord, is that we're either going to accept you or reject you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here that you'd give them the ears to hear, that your Holy Spirit would give them a revelation about how they're to live their life and quit trying to do it on their own, Lord. And so right now, we come as a broken people, recognizing our need for you. And so, Father, bless this time, this prayer, Lord, that you'd meet us right where we are and that you would take us where we never could have been. And so, Father, bless this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, you need prayer, come now. Come down the middle. This is the time to do it.